Thank you all for those songs. Now, if you were listening to Mr. Canessa sing that song about Beulah Land, one of my favorite songs, and you don't understand why folks could raise their hands or get a little excited about a place like that, then there's something wrong, because there's something missing in you. See, Brother Red got excited singing about heaven there this morning. A lot of songs this morning kind of pointing toward heaven. Amen. I'm glad I've got a place. Amen. I'm glad that in this world I'm just passing through. See, you are too. Regardless of which side of the coin you're on, you're just passing through. You can find Job chapter 5, if you will, while we ramble for a minute here. But if you're just passing through, and you are, we all are. See, it depends on where you want to go when the final roll is called, brother. You got one or two options. I don't want to drop off into a pit called hell, amen. So I trusted Jesus Christ to shed blood on Calvary's cross to save my soul from hell, because that's what I needed, amen. And because of Him, I've got a better day coming, amen. Now, Job chapter number 5, this is going to be a tougher thing to look at here, I think, this morning, because it's going to hit all of us at some point in some way. But Job says it this way in chapter number 5. We'll read two verses from two different chapters. You can go ahead and flip over to 14 if you will. Probably know where we're going. But Job says this in Job 5 in verse number 7. He says, "Yet man is born unto trouble." Job didn't say this. Eliphaz said this. One of his good friends there, quote unquote, says, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." Job chapter 14 and verse number 1, Job actually says this. He says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Lord, we thank You for what You do. Lord, I thank You for Your word this morning. I thank You for these fine folks that are here. Lord, I pray that more than anything that You'll just give some folks some help from Your book this morning. Lord, we just gather around trying to find something, Lord, from You that'll help us in the shape that we're in. Lord, we just thank You for all You've done. Lord, I thank You for my Savior. I thank You that I know that I'm born again and going to be united with You one day in heaven's grand city. Lord, we just ask that You watch over us, bless the time, and Lord, be with the heart of the folks here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Job here kind of goes on to further qualify some of his remarks there as we read these things about trouble here, where he says that man that is born of a woman there in 14:1 is a few days and full of trouble. In verse 4 he says this, he says, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean?" He answers that, that's the question that he asked. He answered the question, he said, "Not one." You look over in chapter 15 in verse 14, he says, "What is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous. Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water." He moves on there in chapter 25 in the book of Job. He says this in a couple of verses there. Job 25, verse number 4, he says, "How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman?" He says again there, "How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm." See, Job realized that probably a pretty early time in his life, and you look at the things that Job had went through there in the early parts of this chapter there, he realized that man has got all kinds of problems. There's no denying that man has problems. There's no denying it if you just look in your life. And I want to take a few minutes here and not preach on a real popular subject and those things this morning. But I want to give you a message on troubled by troubles. Job, more than anybody, probably understood the meaning of troubles in life. The unfortunate and sad part of the fact is that troubles are just part of life. Troubles are going to come and troubles are going to go. There's going to be days where we don't understand which way's up and which way's down. But I still know this. I still know that there's a God on the throne. Amen. And I still know this, that in the midst of any trouble that comes along, Job understood this as he so said to his wife there, who was ready for him to curse God and die. And sometimes we kind of give her a bad rap there, but you got to think about it. In her eyes, she had just lost all of her children too. She had just lost everything that she had too. And she was just telling Job exactly how she felt.
And that's not an unnatural feeling there, but Job had some understanding there. And when he looked at her and said that she speaketh as a foolish woman, he says, "What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" He said, things are going to come and things are going to go. But Job, the Bible says in the next verse that he didn't curse God, and he stayed true to his beliefs, right? Why? Because he understood troubles were part of life. I don't understand how troubles can be so easily come and troubles can so easily show up. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45 says that for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. You see, in our eyes, a lot of times we see evil, we'll want to say, God just rained down some fire and brimstone on them, right? That's kind of the thoughts that we have, right? We see bad and you see all that's going on. Listen, all that's going on over there in Israel, I see all that stuff makes me mad, man. Thousands of them there in America, in Washington, D.C. the other day showed up to pro-Palestine demonstrate and all that stuff. Those folks, they ought to just load all of them up on a plane, drop them all off over there and say, here you go. You want to support them? There they are. Have at it. Ain't that our thoughts? Ain't that our mindset? But you know what? They got troubles just like you got troubles. That don't settle as good, does it? I like the fact where I can get mad and angry and say, if you don't like it, leave it in America. But troubles are coming. Troubled days are going to show up. Hard things are going to happen in life. Hard days are going to show up. For me, I was a young boy when my parents split up there and things didn't go right at home and all that stuff. And I'm glad that it happened when I was young because I probably don't remember a lot of the things that went on in the house there when it happened. And so you say, preacher, you're thankful for that. If it had to happen, I'm thankful for it happening that way. So that's an awful thing to say, yeah. Yeah, troubles were there. Mom worked two jobs just to take care of two just mean, rotten, rousy boys. And you know what? She done a good job, but troubles still come. Boy, troubles are part of life. We don't like to think about troubles, but we got to understand troubles may show up. And what are we going to do when troubles come? Job there knew better than anybody, like we said, the meaning of trouble. Saw all that was going on. He decided to write a few verses there about it that we read this morning. See, the Bible says in John chapter 16, in verse 33, this is what it says. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, watch it, you might have peace. Ain't you glad sometimes God answers the problem before he even tells you what the problem is? Because he goes on to say in the end of that same verse, it says, in the world, watch it, ye shall have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. Troubles are part of life. Troubles are going to trouble us in our days. How are we going to react to them? I got a few points here I want to try to make, so take your Bible and look with me. I'll try to slow down. I want you to see the point in the passages this morning and see what God is trying to say to you out of His book, Lamentation, if you would, chapter number 1. Our first point here about some troubles, just talking about troubled by troubles and those things. But in Lamentation chapter number 1, verse number 20, here's what the Bible says. It says, behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. Mine heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled abroad. The sword bereaveth at home. There is as death. See, the first thing you'll find when you're troubled by troubles and troubles of life, and we're wanting to look at, the first one I want to look at is a troubled heart. You know, every now and then your heart just gets troubled. Any of you that's raised kids and youngins in your life realizes real quick that sometimes your youngins can give you a troubled heart. Why? Because you want the best for your youngins. Amen. You want them to do good. You want them to be good. You want them to grow up good. You want to give them the best you can give them. But you still want them to be right and do right and live right. Amen. And not go the wayward way. But boy, troubles come. It troubles the heart. You mamas understand that more than us guys ever will, because there's something special about a mama and their child. A mama's going to take care of their child. Amen. They'll fight tooth and nail for their child. They'll fight a bear for their child. But they'll still have a troubled heart. See, you youngins don't see that right now. You don't see how much mama thinks and worries about y'all and how much mama wishes
for y'all to do the right things the right way. Why? Because her heart gets troubled because she wants you to do right. But sometimes they don't. And our heart's still troubled. You see here, this passage that we read here in Lamentations there, you're looking, see, kind of how the Jews there, if we were to read the whole first 11 verses there, we won't go back and read those songs, talking about how they wound up down there in captivity there. There was an abandoning of the Lord there in their lives. And the lives of the Jews, they kind of went wayward every now and then. And we read the passage over there in Luke about the wayward son there and all that he had went through and got down there in the far country and all that stuff. You know, at home there was a mama and a daddy with a troubled heart. Why? Because he had abandoned the things that he was taught right to do. Boy, a troubled heart is part of life. I don't understand always how these things could happen, but I'm glad that I've got some things in the Bible that can help me. If you would, please, look in Hebrews chapter number 13. I want you to see it for your own eyes, not just me reading it out to you. But in Hebrews chapter 13 gives you a good reason how you can face things head on in all that you got going on in life and anything that happens. He says this in Hebrews 13 verse number 5. Says, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You know, a lot of folks in life have let me down. I've had family members in life that have let me down. I thank God that I've got a good family. I thank God that God put some good people in my life. But I mean, folks have let me down. You know what? I've probably let some people down from time to time and left with somebody with a troubled heart. Boy, the heart's a funny thing. We look at the heart and we talk about that thing, and we're not talking about just the thing that pumps blood in your chest there daily and all that stuff that keeps you kind of going and all that. I'm talking about the thing. The Bible talks about there in Genesis chapter number 6, and verse number 5, talking about the thoughts of the heart of man's heart was wicked. That thing's tied real close into that thing that lives within your head. And it's troubled at times. There's times we go to bed not knowing how things are going to go. There's times that troubles just show up in life. And Job understood trouble. He understood what was going on. That's why he said, man that is born of woman is a few days. That's not a very long time, is it? You think about an hourglass there. You take that thing up and there's just individual grains of sand. Just think about your life being in an hourglass. You're just a single grain of sand. That's just your few days that you're given. But what did he say? They're full of troubles. Well, troubles ain't going to be easy. Troubles ain't going to be fun. But we can get through troubles this morning. I guarantee you can get through the troubles of life this morning. You see, these first that we read about in Lamentations there, they were troubled because they abandoned the ways of the Lord. And those things, and we see those things, and we understand that how our actions have repercussions. Our actions have reactions, and we ought to just go with the Lord and do the things the right way. But sometimes we'll make mistakes. Troubles might come. Take your Bible, look in Psalms chapter 25. I want you to understand that there's troubles in life, and we're going to go through troubles in life, and we don't understand all of it. But I thank God He makes ways for us to get through the troubles of life. Amen? Psalms 25, look in verse 16. He says this. He says, turn, see unto me, and have mercy upon me. He says, for I am desolate and afflicted. Watch what he says. He says, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. He says, oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look what he says in verse 18. He says, look unto my affliction and my pain. Watch what he says. And forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me. They hate me with a cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. See, a troubled heart can be a troubled heart of abandoning the Lord, a troubled heart of the afflictions of life and sin. But I'm glad that He gave us a cure for a troubled heart. I'm glad He gave us something that can help us when we have a troubled heart. I'm glad that He didn't leave us alone, that we just had to face everything alone. I'm glad that He gave us a way out. I'm glad that He gave us some sweet medicine. Amen. The sweet balm of Gilead, as they mentioned there. But here's what He says in John chapter 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He said, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I like what he said in verse 6. He says, Jesus said unto him, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. See, there's help for the troubled heart this morning. You ever had a troubled heart? Is your heart troubled this morning? Listen, troubles of life are going to come. It's going to get better. I promise you. I promise you the message is going to get better. The next one I want you to see, not just a troubled heart, but sometimes there's a thing called a troubled spirit. Look in Genesis, if you would, chapter 41. Give you a few things here about a troubled spirit. Now, this one is one that I'm glad I don't have anymore. Amen? I'm glad this is one that God fixed up for me some time ago. Verse number 8 there, if you're looking in Genesis chapter number 41, you find this man named Pharaoh has had a dream. And he's looking for some help there. He's looking for something that'll, somebody that can expound upon this dream and what's going on there. And it says that it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could inherit and interpret them unto Pharaoh. When I was a young boy there, I had went through a service there, or a ceremony. I don't know what, it wasn't really a ceremony, but I got down there. I got down on my knees. I was young, didn't understand all that was going on. All folks were praying around me there. I had come to the altar on my own free will, but I didn't know what all was going on. They told me I got saved when I got up, got baptized, become a member of the church. But for several years there, a couple years there later, I had a troubled spirit in me. Why? Because there's something that I was still missing. You see, it wasn't about some religious ceremony. It wasn't about some anything or other than just trusting in the Lord. But see, I hadn't got there. The Bible says that the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, I had a troubled spirit. Why? Because I was trusting in something that couldn't get me to the other side. I was trusting in a church membership. I was trusting in what some man told me, not what the man told me. I was trusting in something other than what the book said I should be trusting in. I had a troubled spirit. Pharaoh had a troubled spirit. He was wondering what was going on, trying to figure the thing out. You see all this stuff, and we see some things, and we try to see and understand some things. But boy, when we got a troubled spirit, there's a lot of stuff we're not going to understand. We're not going to understand Psalms chapter 77, verse number 1 says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, my soul I ran in the night and ceased not, my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes walking, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. That's how I was when I was lost. I was so troubled that I couldn't speak. I couldn't understand it. See, there's a trouble of a lost soul. That's a troubled spirit, right? The trouble of the lost soul. Listen, I was on the church membership, but I wasn't on his roll book. Hey, man, I wasn't going to get in on the other side. And that night when I got saved by the grace of God, God come down. I was around 12 years old and come down there. And this was how real it was to me, that before that weekend was through, I was going to die and go to hell. He said, you think you would have? I think I would have. And he would have been just in doing so. But going to bed with a troubled spirit all that time before wasn't worth it. Why? Because I could have got the thing fixed if I just trusted him. The troubled spirit of a lost soul. You find that young man there, we mentioned him already there in Luke, I believe it's chapter 15. Wayward son there in Luke 15:16 got down in the hog pen. His spirit was troubled again. Why? Because he had gotten away from the Father's house. He said, the Bible says that he came unto himself. Are you troubled this morning? Well, won't you just come to yourself and realize? Come to your senses. Amen. Well, have you ever heard that said? Boy, you need to come to your senses. Amen. I remember being told that when I would be stupid and do something dumb when I was a kid. They said, boy, you need to come to your senses and start thinking right. You know what we need to do? We need to come to our senses.
and start thinking right. If your spirit's troubled this morning, you can take care of that. You can take care of a troubled spirit. By what? By just trusting in the Lord. You see the troubled spirit of a lost soul. You see the troubled spirit of a wayward child over in Mark chapter 5. And read, you were to read verses 1 through 8. We won't read them for sake of time this morning. But you'll see the troubled spirit of a man with a wrong master. You'll find that maniac of Gadara there. He was troubled. Bible says that he was wandering around there in the graveyard and was cutting himself. He was in a mess. Had no hope. But then what happened? Jesus shows up. And aren't you glad when Jesus shows up? You know what happens when you're in troubles? He'll find his way around. I'm thankful that he's found his way around in troubles. That young man there was running around in those tombs, had all the devils there going on. The Lord cast them out. And the next thing you know, you find that man what? Clothed. And in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. What are you saying? Troubles are going to come. Troubles are, you find a troubled heart, you find a troubled spirit. Samuel there, 1 Samuel chapter 16, we'll look at another one real quick and see another one here about some troubles. Listen, troubles are coming. Troubles are going to come. Troubles are going to go. But where are you going to turn to? You got to have a place to turn to. We're going to get there. 1 Samuel chapter number, I think I said 16. We'll read one verse there if I can get there. But you'll find that here's another fellow that had some trouble show up in life. He was a great man with his people there. He was pretty important, man. He was the king. 1 Samuel chapter number 14, you'll find the Spirit of the Lord, it says, verse 14 says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Watch what it says, and the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. If you flip back one chapter to chapter 15, you find what happened there. Saul had made a mess of things. He was told to go kill all of them, go kill every one of them, woman, child, man, it didn't matter, animal, all of them, kill them all. He went down there and he spared the king. He took the best of the flock. Of course, he wanted to blame it on the people. But here's what happened in chapter 15, verse 10 says, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me, this is the Lord, that I have made Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord all night. Why? Because the actions of one man. You find the troubled actions. And you can find troubles in our actions. When I was growing up, a lot of times you didn't understand that actions had consequences when you were a kid, did you? You remember that? You remember when you done something you wasn't supposed to do and thought, well, I'll probably get a by with it. I remember this. I remember I got in a fight one time on a school bus. We had to ride the bus home from school. And we were like one of the first to get on it in the mornings, one of the last to get on it in the evenings. It was great, right? But we got on there and got in a fight on the school bus. An old boy, he got bruised on his ribs there. His mama had took him to the doctor. I'd been to football practice that night. Come home, and as we rounded the corner there, we could see the driveway from a little ways off. There was a car in the driveway that I didn't recognize. And I thought, wonder who that is. There ought not be anybody here. It's like 8:30. We can pick and take get bathed up, go to bed. It's time to get ready for the next day, right? And I get there and I walk in the living room, or walk in the door there, and I walk into the dining room there, and you see in the living room, and I see him and his mama sitting there. I thought, oh no. Bad times have come my way. Why? There was trouble for my actions. They sit there and I can see mom's face there. And as much as we give mom a hard time, me and my brother, when she was mad, I knew when I was in trouble. And I could tell she was pretty mad. And got there, though they got done there, and I realized I was done for. I had no hope. I was fixing to get what was coming to me. I was told, go get your bath. Go get ready. And as boys, when they're young, they don't take long baths, man. They run through there. They may not even use soap. You know, sometimes they may just run the water, make it sound like it, right? And they still stink. That's why boys stink, right? They ought to stink. You're a boy, right? Amen. You ought to stink. Amen. Just get that out there. But what I'm saying is I stayed in there so long that the water turned cold, buddy. I was a prune from one side to the other. Why? Because I did not want to face what was coming. Trouble was coming my way. And it was all my fault. I didn't get a whooping. I didn't get grounded. But it was the worst experience I think I'd ever had. Because I saw the disappointment in their eyes. Madison, growing up, she was as tender-hearted. You'd get on to her. You couldn't even whoop her and enjoy it. She was so tender-hearted, you'd get on to her, and she'd go into crying before you could ever get to it. And you're like, man, I can't even enjoy it. You ought not enjoy it. But what I'm saying is it's good to have a tender heart. But, boy, when you find troubles that's come your way because you've earned it, you might as well just own up and take it. That's what happened to him. Saul got trouble. Why? Because of his actions. Or his lack of doing the right actions. See, what happens? Troubles are going to come. Troubles are going to come. 2 Kings chapter 19. I want to get to our last point here in just a minute. But 2 Kings chapter 19, see, you'll see a troubled heart. You'll see a troubled spirit. You'll see troubled actions. In 2 Kings chapter 19, you're talking about seeing this guy named Hezekiah. Hezekiah there started off right, done a lot of good things there in his region. He got rid of the groves, got rid of the high places, got all that stuff going, had some peace come about there. And then next thing you know, the king of Assyria shows up and a lot of things going on there. And Hezekiah made a real bad decision. He said, well, whatever I have to, I'll pay it. I'll take care of the deal. And the old king of Assyria said, all right, you owe me this much silver, this much gold. And he took it from the house of the Lord to pay the debt, right? That's what had happened. So you find Hezekiah later on there. Later on, the Lord comes to him and says, well, you're going to die. And all this, so, well, let me get too far ahead. Verse number 3 and then 2 Kings 19 says, then they said unto him, thus said Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children come to the birth and there's not strength to be brought forth. He said, it's a day of trouble. Boy, I don't know, understand sometimes you just think you wake up and the sun come up and things seems like they're going the right way, but the day just seems troubled, don't you? Sometimes those troubled days are, two little points there with a troubled day. Number one, they're personal in nature. And sometimes they're very painful if repeated. Watch what happened. Hezekiah there in chapter 20, we mentioned there, how he had got told by Isaiah there, said, go tell him he's about to die. He's sick, he's going to die, and he goes to praying, and God says, all right, I'm going to add so much to his life there. But watch what happens there in chapter number 12 and verse number 20. I'm sorry, verse number 12 and chapter number 20 says, and at that time, Behoriadakadal, the son of Baladan, amen, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things and silver and gold and precious and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house and armor and all that was found in the treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed the not. Then Isaiah the prophet came unto him and said, King Hezekiah, and he said unto him, what said these men and from whence came they? They said, and Hezekiah said, they are from a far country, even from Babylon. And even said, what had they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered and said, all things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed to them. Hezekiah said, and Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Troubled days. You know what? There was probably, I'm going to guess, there was probably a few of those folks that got carried off to Babylon that were living a good, right life. But they got caught up in the troubled days of the one in charge. That sound familiar? You looked around America lately? Listen, there may be troubled days. What are you going to do? How are you going to turn? There's troubled days. One more and then we'll get to our last point. I want to get this one more before we get to it though. You'll see troubled days. Not only that, there'll be things called troubled times. Troubled times. Take your Bible, look in Nehemiah chapter number 9. I know it's several places we've turned this morning, but it's important that we see it. What all is going on? Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, right? Nehemiah chapter number 9, look in verse 27. You see troubled days. We see a troubled spirit, a troubled heart, troubled actions and all those things. But here you're going to see troubled times. Verse number 27, watch what he says. He says, therefore, thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies who vexed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they carried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And according to the manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of thine hand. Out of the hand of thine enemies. You see troubled times. We sing a song there. It's called, it goes on there, and part of the song it said, troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. It says, freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. But boy, humbling our hearts to God, safe from the chastening rod. Amen. What are you saying? I said troubled times are showing up. Troubled times may show up. They'll be blind to some, but boy, they're hard to understand sometimes what's going on. But I understand that troubles may come, troubles may go. Job was trying to tell us that. He was trying to warn us that troubles are going to come for us. But listen, you can handle the trouble if you handle it the right way. Jeremiah, here's another passage here on troubled times. Jeremiah 8, verse 15 says, "We look for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble." Boy, I tell you what, we look for peace, but no good came, he said. What? We find troubles are going to come. Troubles are going to come. He goes on there in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 22. If you look there, it says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword. Their sons, their daughters shall die by famine. There shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring evil upon them. And Anath, even the year of their visitation." Boy, we've got troubles. I'm sorry, that was 22. I meant to read verse 12. It says, "Then shall the cities of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods." Look how that's read there in Jeremiah chapter number 11, verse 12. That's a little g gods. That's not the right place to look. "On whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in thine time, in the time of their trouble." Trouble, trouble, trouble. Boy, don't look for help in the wrong places when it comes to trouble. But I'm glad he didn't leave me alone. Take your Bible, look with me. Take your Bible, look in Psalms chapter 9. Some of you probably knew where this was going as we started. Listen, troubles are going to come. Are you prepared for trouble? Do you know where to turn to when troubles show up? Psalms chapter number 9, look in verse number, I'll pick it up in verse number 6. Says that, "O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. And thou hast destroyed cities, their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall minister the judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings." Boy, I'm glad. Look at verse 12 again. It says, "When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble." What he's saying, verse number 9, in the end of that verse, he said he's a refuge in times of trouble. Troubles come. What are you turning to? You're turning to your own intellect? Are you turning to the things you think, things you just know? Or are you seeking the Lord in your times of trouble? Seek the Lord in times of trouble. Look in Psalms 34. You see, I'm glad he gave me a refuge in my times of trouble. Psalms 34, this is what the Bible says. He gives you five great things you should do. We should all take these upon us to do these at all times. First, he says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." He says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." He said, "I sought the Lord," why like this, "and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed." Verse 6, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Listen, church, troubles are going to come. Troubles are going to show up in life. There's no way we can get around troubles. How are you going to face troubles this morning? How are we going to face troubles this morning? How is it that we can go about this life and knowing troubles are going to come and be confident that we can get through troubles without anything that we know, any way of getting around it? How can we know that we can get through the thing that's come? Look in Romans chapter number 8. We're almost done. Romans chapter number 8, famous verse here. We hear it all the time. Folks, most of the time when they use it are misapplying the verse anyway. But here's what he said in Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. Says, "And we know that all things work together for good." Not how you define good, but how God defines good. "To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Called to what? We're called to be conformed to his image. What's it say in verse 29? He says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate
to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. What are the all things he's talking about there in verse 28? Look at verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Watch what he says. Shall tribulation, that's negative, or distresses, that's negative, or persecution, that's negative, or famine, that's negative, or nakedness, that's negative, or peril of the sword, that's negative. For it is written, for thy sake they are killed all the day long, that's negative. And we are accounted for sheep for the slaughter, that's negative. Said, preacher, that's a lot of negative. Yeah, but look what it says in verse 37. He says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. How? Through him that loved us. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. One more verse. Hebrews chapter number 12. Listen, you can face troubles head on. I don't know. I don't know why we had to go this route this morning, but I couldn't get away from it all week. And I know troubles are part of life and troubles that sometimes we don't understand. But I'm glad I can face any trouble that comes my way. How? Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2 says this. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Where's he at? And is set down at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. See, he's still in control. Troubles are going to come in life. Troubles are going to come. It's not a popular thought. It's not a popular thing to think about. But how are you going to face troubles this morning? You know how I'm going to face them? I'm just going to look to Jesus. Why? Because he's the one that saved me out of all my troubles. This poor man cried, and he heard my cry, and he saved me out of all my troubles. You can have victory in troubles this morning. I don't know, brother, come, we'll get a song. I don't know, maybe you just want to thank God for help. Maybe you got troubles. Maybe your spirit's troubled this morning because all this stuff that we've talked about this morning, everything that we preached about, maybe you said, I don't understand a bit of it because you're lost, don't know God. I'm going to give you one verse, this one verse. If you don't come, that's on you. But you had your opportunity. But if you need some help, you're in troubles this morning. You need help from God. Does God, do you feel like you're just all alone out there? Listen, you're not. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. I can still look to Jesus. Boy, the troubles, you watch the news, you see troubles everywhere. Troubles in life, troubles going on. What about it this morning? Do you need some help? He'll help you. What you got, brother? What page? He's looking. Hey, listen, trust the Lord. Trust him in your troubles. 161. Number 161, as we stand and sing, one verse this morning. You got troubles? You need some help?